In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. For hundreds of years, our people struggled with being faithful to our God. But eventually, we gave in. We gave up the struggle. That happened when we approached the Lord through Samuel and asked for a human king. For hundreds of years, we had been battling this desire to be in charge of our lives, to be in control. Back and forth, we had swung between faithfulness and disobedience. But that day, we went to the Lord and made a request. We're done. We want to rule ourselves. We want to be in control. We want a human king. Give us a king. We're tired of not being like the nations who have been beating up on us. We want a king to take us to war. We want a king who will make us great and mighty and glorious in the eyes of the world. We're done with you, God, being our king. Give us a human. The Lord was heartbroken. The Lord knew that this moment was a turning point. The great rejection of his people was falling upon him. They didn't want God to be their ruler. They didn't want God to be their king. They didn't want God to be in charge anymore. No longer were they going to battle in their addiction. They were just going to dive headlong into their addiction. Forget the struggle. We're just going all in. We want to be in control. We want to be like the nations. We want a king. They rejected God. And the Lord knew this. He knew that this moment was a profound turning point. The people no longer wanted God to be in charge at all. Samuel, I don't think, expected God to give the people what they wanted. I think Samuel actually anticipated that God was going to just bring some sort of wrath and destruction upon the people. But instead, God, in a heartbroken fashion, told Samuel, you know what? If they want a king, let them have a king. Give them what they want. Like a father, tired of telling his child, no, 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 putting up the boundaries over and over, God as a father hung his head and said, fine, you want to leave? Go. Have a king. But I love you so much, I'm going to give you a final warning. And this is what God told the people. You are asking to rule yourselves. You are asking to have a king. Let me tell you what this is going to look like. Your king will try to grab for power, and he will take your boys and stick them on the front lines of his armies, and your boys will die in battle. Your boys will be traumatized by war. And if he doesn't put them in the army, he will take your boys and he will make them work his fields so that he can get rich. Your boys will be slaves. Oh, and your daughters, he'll take your daughters and he'll put them to work everywhere for himself. And he'll grab your daughters and put them into his harem. His daughters, your daughters will be for his pleasure. And he's going to tax you. He's going to tax you to death. And he's going to take your best land. He's going to take your best animals, everything that you thought you had. This king is going to start taking it from you. He is going to grow in wealth and power. And he's going to build a system of bureaucracy. He's going to put all sorts of other men underneath him in charge. And this bureaucracy is going to grow and swell. And you are going to be his slaves. You think you're taking control of your lives by asking for a human ruler. You will be slaves. But you've chosen this path. And so when you're miserable under your human rulers, you're going to cry out to me and say, Lord, save us from the oppression of the rulers, the tyrants of our world. And I will tell you, I will not listen. I will not hear your cries for help. I'm going to let you suffer the consequences of this decision. This is your last warning. Do you still want to be in charge of yourselves? Do you still want humans to run your world? Samuel took this message to the people. The people heard the warning of everything that their rulers were going to do, everything terrible that was going to happen when they were in control of their lives. And the people said firmly, strongly, we want a king. We're done with you, God, as our ruler. Give us a king. And the Lord said, all right, here you go. Saul was the first of these kings. He was tall and beautiful, and we loved him for that. But he was a disaster. And after 40 years of reigning, the Lord then stepped in, and it was fascinating. He said, let me choose the next king for you. I will choose the ideal candidate. For we thought after Saul fell apart, we thought the problem was we just didn't have the right guy in office. And the Lord said, well, hold on. Who can make the better decision about who to put in office than me? And so the Lord chose the perfect, ideal candidate. His name was David. He was a lowly shepherd boy, the last born in his family, poor, a nobody, a boy with a very, very good heart, a heart that the Lord said was just like his own. We had the perfect, ideal candidate. And the Lord put him in office. And you know what happened? That beautiful boy turned into a monster. The power, the wealth, the desire to be in control went to his head. And he turned into more of a monster than Saul. Saul was known for killing his thousands. David became known for killing his tens of thousands. He was like a gangster, the way that he ruled our people. He consolidated power and he manipulated. The ideal candidate, the best person for the job, blew up in our faces. And that's when many of us started to remember the Lord's words. When you're slaves and miserable under your human rulers, I'm not going to listen. And we continued to suffer. We had chosen our own prison. We'd chosen this path for ourselves. It was crazy to look back on. We were adamant. We were determined that this was the path. We wanted to be in control of our lives. That was it. We wanted to grow up. We were tired of being under God's rule. We were tired of being children. We wanted to step out of the house, self-sufficient, grown up, ruling ourselves. And it blew up in our faces. We got exactly what we asked for, and it was miserable. Being in control was the worst thing that ever happened to us. We still do this, don't we? We're still so bound and determined, aren't we, to be in charge? We're so determined to run our lives and run our world. We think we can be in charge. And then when it falls apart, we still do the same thing, don't we? We keep telling ourselves, well, it was just the man or woman in office that was the problem. We just need the better candidate. The ideal candidate. That candidate will finally sort it through. How many times have we tried the ideal candidate? How many times has that failed? And yet we're still addicted. We still think the world will be just fine if we are running it. We seem to think that our best efforts at running the world are better than what God could offer. And so we reject him as our king, as our ruler, and we appoint for ourselves humans to run the show. And they enslave us. And they send our boys to war. And they put them in slave jobs. And they tax us. And they take our land and our animals. They make us miserable as they build their bureaucracy to no end. We're slaves. And we're not slaves to them. We're slaves to ourselves. We wanted this. We chose this. Jesus breaks the cycle. Jesus steps in and says that he is the true king. But it's so different. As Jesus is in the wilderness, he refuses control at every turn. When given the opportunity to control the stones to bring forth bread and economic progress, Jesus says no. God is in charge. And then when given the offer of having all the kingdoms and powers of the world, Jesus, there is no better ideal candidate out there than Jesus. And he says, no, I refuse that power. No way. God can do it himself. And then the religious temptation, the desire to use God's own word, his own scriptures to control God. Throw yourself off the temple. Make God save you. No, Jesus says. I am not in control. I refuse to be in control. God is king. Jesus' whole life was marked by that fact. a refusal to be in charge. Jesus refused at every turn the wealth, the power, the control that we are so addicted to. Jesus said, the true great one is the servant. The one who lowers and humbles himself before all. The true path to freedom, Jesus said, is to let go. Stop trying to be in control. Stop trying to fix the world. Step back. Trust in God. Let God run his world. Or do you think God isn't real enough to run his world? Do you think God is too weak to run his world? Do you think God is too far away, too distant to run his world? If so, maybe you don't really believe in God. And maybe we don't. But Jesus insists, the only way to be set free is to let go. The only way to true life is to stop being in control. When we take control, we destroy ourselves, we destroy each other, and we destroy God's world. We've got thousands of years of evidence. Do we need more? Jesus shows the true path. And it's an easier path. A better path. A path of letting God. Letting God be in charge. It's hard to give up the addiction. We love to be in control. But if we would listen to Jesus, he will save us. His word will bring us life. And the slavery that we have in our everyday lives will start to melt away. We will be free. God will rule us. His kingdom is here. Amen.